Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of 15 Good Minutes. This is Coach B. Freddie. What's up, buddy?
Come on. How you doing?
I'm good, man. We have a 15 Good Minutes group chat, and third member of the team has been radio silent. We don't know where he is. Hopefully, he's all right. But as we say in the business, show must go on. And today's really is a single point that we're going to talk about. Freddie and I have talked about it before. You know, we've seen this from coaching, and we've seen it now. And because this is the last weekend of the regular season, NCAA basketball, now we're going to move into these conference tournaments, and then subsequently the NCAAs. I want to talk about this whole thing with court storming. Is it an issue? Is it something that could be regulated? I want to get Freddie's take on what he thinks about it. I'll give you guys my take, and that's really all we're going to do today going in. I will say this. It's not an issue. I'm going to rephrase that, Freddie. It won't be an issue after this weekend because, you know, most conference tournaments are at places that you just can't do that. A-10 is where the Nets play in Brooklyn. ACC is here in D.C. It's not allowed there. So what we're talking about, the things that we've seen this season and some in the past, are on the home courts of teams that have won against a better team. So let me put a pivot in that and then go to you, Freddie. You've seen it. What's your opinion on court storming? And more specifically, what I'm looking for from you is, should it be continued? Should it be modified? Or should it be nixed altogether?
That's a hard question, right? It truly is. When you look at the premise of court storming, field storming, it's one of those things, to me, the notion and the rationale, it goes back to what do you expect college kids to do? They're going to party, have a good time, or whatever. For whatever reason, they're going to party, have a good time. Well, when you are, you know, undefeated, unranked, and you beat a top five team or whatever, guess what? You're probably going to party. If it's a home game, you're going to party. Everybody eat free that night at the local restaurant, whatever the case may be, whatever city it is. Or when the team gets back home, you're going to party. You're going to have a good time. So it's really tough for me to really say, you know, am I for it or am I against it? I'm against it if it involves, you know, with the players and stuff like that and whatever. And then, you know, there's a liability factor that if someone, you know, has a cup of soda, you know, whatever in their hand, they slip and fall on a basketball court, hurt themselves. There's a liability aspect of it because we live in such a litigious society nowadays to where the slightest little thing, you can pass gas on someone, you know, and someone's ready to sue you, right? And so it's just one of those things. I'm not for court storming, but I'm not against it. I think, honestly, I think a lot of it was blown out of proportion. Is this last incident with Cal Filipowski with Duke. And, you know, he said he felt like it was intentional. Someone tried to hurt him or whatever. I don't think they was trying to hurt him. I really don't. They just beat your ass. So they're not trying to hurt you. Right. I would like to think they once. You may have some malicious people out there, but I don't think they was trying to hurt him. But if you also look at it, he put his two forearms up like he was trying to, you know, OK, we just lost. So run into me. You're going to get these elbows or whatever.
For me, it's like, OK, at this stage of the game, I'm against it for all the reasons that you said. Somebody could get hurt, even a fan. Right. Fan falls down, maybe gets trampled, whatever, whatever. For me, it's purely a safety thing. And a lot of times, you know, we're focused on the player, get it. But there's a fairly large contingent of people that travel with that visiting team, from managers and support staff and people that you may or may not even know are part of that organization. So for me, it's like this. If you want to do it, I think it has to be delayed. To your point, you know, once the visiting team, we've done the handshake line and the visiting team, because it's only happening on a home game, they have successfully, and their entourage, the whole party has left the court. I'm fine with that. You know, let it roll. But if you got more and more people, Freddie, at these games now, and they're just coming, and it's too easy for something bad to happen. I will say this on the Duke point. I found it kind of interesting that him and his coach took that position. But if you go back and look earlier in this year, Duke did a court storming, you know. So when they beat somebody that they thought they weren't supposed to beat, you know, they do that kind of thing. So to the educational institutions, I would say this: you cannot play both sides of the fence. You can't cry foul when you're the one that loses the game and the other team does it, but then you encourage it. In researching the topic this week, I looked up some stuff. We got guys this season, coaches from the home team out there just happy with those fans, taking selfies and running around the court. You know what I mean? So I do get it. You want to celebrate that. But what I was saying at the top of the show was that, you know, like, you know, you and I are going to be at the ACC tournament this year. You, no matter which team you're there to support, you will not run onto that court, you know, without getting jacked. Somebody will crack you across the head, or you definitely will get detained. So my whole thing is like, why is it so, what's the right word? Why is it so special, as it were, you know, with college, but we don't see it in the NBA? Run up on LeBron if you want to. You ain't going to get within 10 yards. You know what I mean? Same thing in other pro sports. And I think it's the safety element. I think we have an obligation to protect all of the players. And to that extent too, man, we got to protect the fans that are there. And if you get out there in a mob scene, here's the other thing. You have people from the other fan side, right, who might take exception. You could end up with a battle between two different groups of fans out there. I think the era of court storming when it was quote unquote safe is gone. I don't know if you've seen it, Freddie, but SportsCenter put one on. I forget the school from a couple weeks ago. It was a one-man court storming. Hilarious. No, nobody was in the crowd, but it was an upset. The brother ran out on the field, and he was like, oh, damn. No support. And, you know,
everybody at.
Right, nobody was there. So let me throw another question at you. If there's going to be a change in the policy, because right now I think it's a $25,000 fine and all these schools are paying it. They pay more than that one day's worth of nil for some of their players. Who should be responsible, in your opinion, for enforcing it? You know, in other words, is it the team, the school, the NCAA? Who would you, if you had to go to a governing body to say we need to take action here, who would you recommend that be?
I think it would be the entity in which,
so that school
that enforces the penalty.
Yeah.
Right. So if the NCAA is enforcing the penalty at certain games, like USC,
they are right now. That fine, that $25,000 fine, is an NCAA fine.
Right. But you know, if the fine is levied by the NCAA with certain games that, you know, marquee games. I mean, guess what? I mean, no one's storming the court for FAU and FIU. No one's storming that court, right? You know, but if you have
Washington versus George Mason,
right? No one's storming those courts. I think the NCAA should bear the brunt of the burden in the event that they're the one levying the penalties.
I agree with that 100%. I think the only way this gets the proper attention is because it's limited, I think, to just college athletics. I think the NCAA has to come out and say, this is what's going to happen. And then the penalty has to be more significant than $25,000. I mean, Duke paying $25,000 for court storming is a joke. You know, maybe at GW versus George Mason, you can't, you know, pay for the Fairfax County police to come, but they're there anyway. So I think that the NCAA...
Who pays for law enforcement, though?
Exactly. So to me, the NCAA could write a funding line to supplement the law enforcement officers for those jurisdictions. I'm not talking about the, you know, the campus staff. I'm talking about, like, again, like here, Fairfax County is going to come and cover the game. It's like overtime for them, and they get paid. And if they do just like they do at Capital One Arena, you see ushers lining the court at almost every ball, every dead ball, timeout, and definitely at the end of the game, you can't get close to them. Can it be fixed? And we have to define what fixed is. My definition of fixed is, you know what? It was a good run. You got to stop it. Let's identify how much money it's going to cost to enforce it across the NCAA and see what happens. Or if they're going to continue it, then we really need to have some no fooling measures put in place, a countdown clock or something up on the Jumbotron that says, we're going to let you storm when this light goes green or whatever, which gives that team time to leave. If you come on the court before then, there's got to be some type of, consequence for that. But it's getting a lot of attention, and hopefully something can be done about it. We will see. We
should see. I think it only got attention because from Duke.
I think Caitlin Clark was the first. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Right?
I hate to say this, but I feel like it's being overblown. I really think it's being overblown. Caitlin was fine. Filipowski, he didn't miss any time. I think that was just Duke being sore losers. And, people don't want to say that in the media. They don't want to say that.
That's what it looked like.
It was intentional. We got to do something about it. But, I mean, come on. No one says nothing when the Cameron Crazies or whatever show up and storm the court, if they beat UNC.
As a team, you've got your players. You've already gone over that when you did your walkthrough. Look, this happens. This is how we account for everybody. This is where you go. It's better for you to hit the tunnel and not shake hands than to put yourself in there. The teams practice this. Before we go, man, you got anything to say today?
Today is early voting day in certain states. Whatever side of the coin you decide to vote, go out, make your voice heard, at least, have your voice heard. That's one of the most powerful things that you can do in your society. And, we'll see what happens.
I agree. That's great. I got something to say here in Virginia. We voted as well. It's the Republican and Democratic primary, vote today for the presidency. And to your point, hopefully everybody will at least exercise their right to vote. And I've said this for many years. We may have situations where we're not fans of either one. That's no excuse not to vote. I think at some level you have to do your homework, like Freddie said, starting at the grassroots level, get to know your local representatives, and then, cast your vote for whoever you think can best support your particular agenda. But please exercise your right to vote. It's going to be important. It's going to be important here in a few months, especially this fall. So that's all we had time for today. We will continue to follow what the NCAA and some of these other organizations are going to do with regards to court storming and keep you guys posted on that. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the final weekend of the regular season for the smaller conferences. They've already got their conference tournaments underway. For the big ones, everything ends this particular Sunday, and that leads into the conference tournaments for next week. And we'll be bringing you some updates on those at that time. Until then, have a great weekend. We're out.